In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again, we come into your presence to pray, and we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, to listen to you. What do you have to tell me today? And we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We pray today about various aspects of that most important virtue of charity. As St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and the greatest of these is charity. And Lord, you yourself say it too when they ask you, what is the greatest of the commandments? And you say, the first is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Charity, love, but first love for you, then love for our neighbor. The more we love you, the easier it will be to love our neighbor, because you will be in us, and your love will fill us and overflow into others. And we see that in the lives of the saints. A Saint Teresa of Calcutta, pouring out love. I saw it in Saint Jose Maria, filled with love for God. That so impressed me. He loved God so much, and I would leave those many get-togethers, hundreds of them in the early 60s, often thinking, I have to love God more. What was so obvious was that he loved you truly. And he would say of himself, look for a man of my age that speaks about his love the way I do. Perhaps you won't find many. And he said that when he was in his early 70s. And he described himself as a poor sinner who loves Jesus Christ. How much he loved you. And then that love poured out into others. And this was so obvious too in him. He was so affectionate, so kind, so good-humored, so generous. He poured himself out in love for others, and that because he loved you first. And Lord, we too, if we want to love our neighbor, must love you first. And we grow in love for you in those obvious ways. Talking with you, spending time with you in prayer in its various forms. Mental prayer, as we are doing now, talking with you in our own words. The rosary, a vocal prayer in which we are meditating on your life. The angelus, so many vocal prayers that we have learned. Above all, the mass, where we have that powerful prayer where you are the one carrying it out because it is your sacrifice on Calvary made present on the altar. And then we grow in love for you through the sacraments. To receive you in Holy Communion, where, as you say in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. And Lord, when you live in us, your love is in us, and then your love pours itself out in love for our neighbor. Help us to receive you often in Holy Communion, and to go often to the sacrament of penance. Because we all sin, and you show us your love by forgiving us, filling us with sanctifying grace, which makes us holy and pleasing to you. And we can receive that sacrament often, too. Then we will grow in love for you. And penance, too. because in penance we purify ourselves of that self-love, of that love for the world, so that you can fill our heart to a greater extent, and then we can love others more. To be able to say through our penance, as St. Paul does writing to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, when we are crucified with you through our life of self-denial, of sacrifice, of penance, then we too can say, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are other Christs, and then your love flows out into others. And we can consider today four aspects of our love for our neighbor. And the first one is patience. And perhaps this is the most difficult aspect of charity to live, because we will find ourselves often being impatient with those around us, and those others begin in our family. Impatience with our spouse, impatience with our children, impatience perhaps with in-laws or others in our extended family, and then impatience with drivers on the road, with shoppers when we are there shopping, with colleagues of work. There are many people who will try our patience, and that is inevitable. But Lord, if we love you more, we will find it easier at least to live patience. And let us think as we pray about this topic of particular individuals who have tried our patience in the past or who do so at the present time. That child, that spouse, that colleague of work, those drivers. And we ask, what can we do to be more patient with them? And the first answer is love you more so that your love will flow out into them. Secondly, love them more. The more we love someone, the easier it is to be patient with them. To foster that love, they are children of God. They are redeemed by your precious blood. And then two helpful hints from St. Jose Maria. The first, if we want to be more patient with others, consider how patient God is with us. And Lord, how patient you are with me. How often you have forgiven me. You put up with me, and I tell you that I want to improve, and then I don't really make the effort. You are infinitely patient with me. Help me to remember that, so that I can be patient with those around me. And always remembering, you are God, patient with the creature, and I am only a creature, being patient with a fellow human being. And the second hint from St. Jose Maria comes in his book, The Way, where he says, don't say, that person gets on my nerves. Say, that person sanctifies me. That person who tries our patience, who gets on our nerves, sanctifies us. Their way of being, whatever it is that we find difficult, can be perhaps like a crown of thorns. But then that sanctifies us, that unites us with you. Those people that we find difficult can help us to go to heaven so much more quickly if we remember to offer it up, to remember that it sanctifies us. Pope Francis writes about patience and what he says we can all identify with. And this came during the Year of Mercy, in one of his Wednesday audience addresses on the works of mercy. And this one was in November 2016. He said, we dedicate today's catechesis to a work of mercy that we all know very well, but that perhaps we do not put into practice as we should, to endure patiently people who annoy us, or more often rendered, to bear wrongs patiently. He goes on, we are all very good in identifying a presence that can annoy us. It happens when we meet someone on the street or when we receive a phone call. We immediately think, how long will I have to hear the complaints, the gossip, the requests, or the boasts of this person? It also happens sometimes that annoying persons are those closest to us. Among relatives, there's always one. They are not lacking in the workplace, and not even in free time are we exempted. What should we do with annoying persons? We also many times are annoying to others. Why has this also been inserted among the works of mercy, to endure patiently people who annoy us? And the Pope goes on to speak about God being patient with his people. In the Bible, we see that God himself must exercise mercy to endure the complaints of his people. For instance, in the book of Exodus, the people are truly unbearable. First they weep because they are slaves in Egypt and God delivers them. Then in the desert they complain because there's nothing to eat and God sends quails and manna. Yet despite this, the complaints do not cease. Moses was the mediator between God and the people, and sometimes the Lord also annoyed him. However, God had patience, and thus he also taught Moses and the people this essential dimension of faith. And Lord, if you have been so patient with us, help us to be more patient with our fellow human beings. And Pope Francis continues, then a first question comes spontaneously. Do we ever make an examination of conscience to see if we also, sometimes, are annoying to others? It is easy to point the finger at the defects and lacks of others, but we should learn to put ourselves in others' shoes. And Lord, this can be a third hint. To live patience more, consider that perhaps we try the patience of others too, and if we struggle to avoid doing that, we will understand that others perhaps can try our patience because they may be struggling too, or they are not. But we annoy them. Help us to avoid getting annoyed when they try our patience. And then a second aspect of charity, to love all. Because, Lord, you love all. You love everyone. You died that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you love them, everyone. We look at the different categories of people that you loved. You loved Jews, but you also loved Gentiles, like the Samaritan woman at the well, like the Canaanite woman, like the Roman centurion. You loved everyone. And you love the rich and the poor. Perhaps we can tend to look down on someone in one of those categories, but they are all children of God too. And yes, they may not be living as they ought, but they have a soul that has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. They have a place in heaven. If we treated them better, perhaps they would get to heaven a bit more quickly. And then you love the sick and the healthy. Everyone. But now, Lord, help us to examine our conscience and ask, is there any category of persons that I find difficult and that I do not find it easy to love? Might there be persons of a particular race or background that I really find annoying? But then to remember, they are children of God. Lord, you died to redeem them. I should love them too. They are my fellow human beings. After all, as St. Jose Maria says, there's only one race, the race of the children of God. We have a common Father, who is God, and we are all descended from Adam and Eve, all brothers and sisters. Lord, let us not let someone's race be an obstacle to loving them. Or it might be people of a particular religion. Yes, we say, I can put up with Christians, but there are some religions that I find very difficult because amongst them perhaps are terrorists and people that blow themselves up. But we can't indict that whole religion for the sinful acts of a few. And it's always a few. And those people believe in God too. And they can go to heaven, and we will meet them there in heaven perhaps. Lord, help us not to distinguish or to discriminate between people of different religions. We are all children of God. Or it might be people that have a lot of money, or people that are homeless and on the streets. They too, all of them, are children of God. If we got to know them more, we would realize there's a good heart in so many of them, and we can pray more for them. But Lord, help us not to discriminate against any category of persons. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all children of the same Father God. The third aspect of charity, to learn to forgive. And Lord, again, we look at you. And when they were nailing you to the cross, when you were hanging there in absolute agony, and they were still taunting you, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, abusing you. And your response, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, again, we examine ourselves. Have I forgiven everyone that has hurt me in my life? Or are there some persons, or maybe one, that has hurt us in the past and we still haven't forgiven? We bear that grudge. We get angry every time we think of them. Lord, help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. And again, that thought that we have already considered, you are God forgiving the creature. And we are only creatures forgiving others who have hurt us. Surely, if you have forgiven me, I can forgive others. And you tell us how important that is when you give us the Our Father, where you teach us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And you seem to be saying, if we forgive others, our Father will forgive us. And that is indeed what you are saying, because you go on to explain it. Immediately after giving us the Our Father, in the Sermon on the Mount, you say, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And this is awesome. If we don't forgive all, our Father will not forgive us. And we desperately want to be saved and go to heaven. But for that, we must forgive others. And now we ask, but what is forgiveness? Does it mean we must feel kindly towards that person that has hurt us? Forgiveness is an act of the will, which has three aspects. First, to tell our Lord that we forgive this person and to mean it. Father, I forgive them. I forgive them from the bottom of my heart. Yes, they have hurt me. Yes, I still feel a bit angry when I think of it, but I forgive them. I want to love them. Second, to wish them well, not harm. A tendency when someone has hurt us is to wish them evil. I hope you rot in hell. I hope you break your leg. I hope you have an accident. Never to wish someone harm. Always to wish them well. That they live a good life. That they go to heaven one day. That they repent of their sins. And thirdly, to pray for them, that they may get to heaven one day, because we may be reunited with them there, and we couldn't greet them if we still bore that grudge. To learn to forgive, as Lord, you have forgiven us, and how ready you are always to forgive. A few weeks ago, I heard a beautiful story told by a woman who heard it directly from the priest concerned. This priest had been ordained, and his father never accepted his priestly ordination. He was angry with him for being a priest. And now the father was dying. And the priest went to see him on his deathbed in the hope that he could be reconciled with his father, who would finally accept his priesthood. And as that son leaned over the bed, the father garnered up a little bit of energy, leaned forward, and spat in his son's face, and he said, "That's what I think of you and your church." And then he lay back and died. And this priest lived with that fear that his father, having rejected the church and his son's priesthood in his last moments, might have gone to hell. Sometime later, that priest was visiting a monastery of Carmelite nuns, speaking with one of the nuns through the grill. Meanwhile, another nun was in the chapel praying, undoubtedly unaware that that priest was there, and certainly unaware of his relationship with his father. And that nun in the chapel heard our Lord say, "Go and tell that priest that before his father died, he saw me on the cross, and he asked forgiveness of his sins, and he is now in purgatory." And when the nun went to tell the priest that, he was first of all, of course, enormously surprised that that nun could have said that, and then so grateful to God that his father, in the last moment between rejecting the church and laying back and dying, had seen Christ on the cross and had begged forgiveness of his sins, was forgiven, and is now in purgatory. Lord, this is your love for us. This is your overwhelming will to forgive all and to give all an opportunity, even in the last instant of their life, to be forgiven. Lord, help me, help everyone to forgive those who have hurt us. And then finally, kindness. Kindness has so many aspects. It is a person who has that smile, who cares, who goes out of his or her way, who has good humor, who makes other people happy. And Lord, you do that. You said to the apostles in the Last Supper, "All of this I have told you, that my joy may be yours, and the measure of your joy may be filled up." Or St. Mark relates that you looked on that young rich man with love. You looked on him with love, with kindness. And that look at St. Peter immediately after he had denied you three times that led him to go out and weep bitterly. Just a look of your face, a look of kindness. And now we can ask ourselves, Lord, am I kind? Do people see me as pleasant, as joyful, as caring, as kind to them? That wherever I go, people are happier because I am there. Or do they think of me as quiet, withdrawn, looking after myself, not caring about others? Lord, help me to be kind as you are kind. Years ago, I saw the story of a taxi driver in a big American city, and he was so cheerful and kind that the journalist who was his passenger wrote an article about it. And he asked the taxi driver, "Why are you so cheerful?" And the taxi driver answered, "Because, you see, many people get into this cab every day. And if I am more kind, more cheerful, more loving with them, each one will go somewhere, one home, another to their workplace, another shopping, another to meet a friend, and so on. And they will perhaps be a little bit more kind with those persons that they are going to see. And those others, in turn, might be a little bit more kind with those that they meet during the day. And so you see, if I am more kind with those who get into this taxi, perhaps many, many more people will benefit. And Lord, help us to be like that taxi driver. Wherever we go, we are kind. Saint Jose Maria was like that. He was a joy to be with. He was so good-humored, so affectionate, and we loved to be with him. And when he would visit people in the 1930s in those big hospitals in Madrid where they were suffering from that incurable disease at the time, tuberculosis, and he was risking his health and life even to visit them, when he arrived, word would run through the hospital, Father Jose Maria is here. People perked up because that priest who was so caring was coming to see them. Another example of that in modern times is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she tells this story in a retreat for priests in Rome in October 1984. She says, one day they brought a man from the streets, and half of his body was all eaten up. Worms were crawling all over his body, and nobody could stand near him. The odor was so great. And when she mentions worms, they are maggots eating into his living and perhaps rotting flesh. And then he hadn't had a bath for a long time. And between all of that, the odor was so great that no one could stand near him. So I went to clean him, she says, and he looked at me. And then he asked, why do you do this? Everybody's giving me away. Why do you do this? Why do you come near me? I love you, I said. I love you. You are Jesus in a distressing disguise. And Jesus is sharing his passion with you. And he looked up at me and said, and you too, by doing what you are doing, are sharing. I said, no, I'm sharing the joy of loving with you. I love the Jesus in you. And this Hindu gentleman, so full of suffering, what did he say? Glory be to Jesus Christ. There was no complaint of those big worms eating into his body. There was no crying, no calling. He realized that he was somebody, that he was loved. And Lord, what a beautiful story. Mother Teresa and all her nuns showing such kindness with the people picked up from the streets of Calcutta and around the world. The people who are destitute, down and out, and they find kindness, they find love through those good nuns. And Lord, help me, help all of us to be more kind, more cheerful, more caring. And St. Teresa of Calcutta says, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness, kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. And Lord, what a lesson you give us in all of these aspects of charity. We finish our prayer going to Our Lady, and we ask her, who is the model of the virtues, Mary, help me to be more patient with those especially who try my patience. Help me always to forgive, no matter what people have done to me. And remembering those words at the end of the film There Be Dragons on the life of Saint Jose Maria, when you forgive, you free someone, yourself, to be freed of that burden of not forgiving. Mary, help us to love all, no matter what their background, no matter what their religion or their status in life, to love everyone. We are all children of the same Father, and help us to be more kind, more loving, more generous, to bring God's love into the world. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.